Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two, which means we are joined by the big guy, Ross Tucker, for Tucker's Take. Ross, my friend, how are you doing today?
Jim, I'm awesome. I'm awesome. You know, it was nice weather recently. I've gotten a lot of family time in, and you know it. Every time I'm able to talk Penn State football with you, I'm a happy camper.
Good deal. Well, let's get right to it. What I wanted to talk to you about this week in Tucker's Tape, Ross, is there are, with the hiring of Anthony Poindexter this past week, 6 out of the 10 members of James Franklin's coaching staff have only a year of tenure or less. That's quite a bit of turnover, and I wanted to go over that with you. First question is, what kind of effect does this much turnover have on the team overall, the players in particular?
Yeah, I think it would be hard to argue that it's a good thing, Jim. I really would. You know, there's multiple different layers to it. There is, number one, there is sort of the trust factor, right, where – you build up a level of trust between player and coach, and that trust works both ways, by the way. So there's the trust factor. That's number one. Then you've got recruiting. Now, it can at times benefit, right? Like, I think most people would agree that it appears that Phil Troutwine is a better recruiter than the prior offensive line coach was, whose name is escaping me right now. He's an awesome guy too. I really enjoy when I talk with him. But I think Troutwine is considered a better recruiter. So you can benefit from that in the long term and to some extent in the short term. But you also, Jim, you're always going to lose a little bit in the transition and the translation, right? Like, you're always going to lose a little bit there because the other guys have been building up these relationships, and now a new guy comes in. And then there's the technique stuff. And, you know, we probably killed it last year, Jim, or beat it to death, as they say, with all of the talk we had about, and the concerns I had about, some of the new coaches and the new techniques that they were going to teach. And then there's no spring ball, and there's a limited training camp. And I think it manifested itself with the new OC, with the new O-line coach, et cetera, early in the season.
Yeah, that, it would seem, has to be part of the process, that you take a bit of a hit right off the bat. We saw that with the new hire at tight end of Ty Howe, one of the tight end commits for 2022, by the way, decommitted, and I'm sure the coaching change was part of that. Let's take a quick look at the new hires for this year. We have Ty Howe coming in as tight ends coach. Anthony Poindexter was the latest hire. He's coming in at safety. And, of course, earlier this year, Mike Yurcich came in as offensive coordinator. Do you see any trend in his hires? And you could even go back to the hires from last year. Is there anything, a common thread among these hires that you see, Ross?
No, I don't think there is. I mean, in all sincerity, I really don't think there is. You know, I mean, I think clearly he felt like Yurcich was an upgrade, which, you know, he would not have moved on from Shiraka unless he felt that way. You know, but the other situations, you know, I don't think they wanted Tyler Bowen to leave. Tyler Bowen left, and they had to replace him. So they promoted Ty Howe. I don't know that you could argue that that makes them better, Jim. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's pretty hard to argue that a guy like Tyler Bowen, who's very well respected, rising up the ranks, he goes to the NFL with Urban Meyer. I think it's hard to argue, oh, they're better at tight ends now. Now, I do think there's something to be said for having a letterman and a former player, you know, on both sides of the ball. Ty Howell at tight end and Terry Smith, you know, coaching the cornerbacks. I do think that's a positive for Penn State, because I think you want people to be able to say, I went here, I loved it, it was phenomenal, there's nowhere else I would have rather gone, all those type of things. You know, parents, kids, they want to hear that. But I think for both Poindexter and Howe, it's not a situation where Penn State necessarily felt they were upgrading. Penn State lost guys, and they had to backfill. They had to replace him. Now, Poindexter's pretty highly regarded. I've heard his name a bunch. So that's a positive that Penn State was able to get him. The negative is they kind of lost, you know, Tim Banks, I guess, you know, was just got more money to go to Tennessee, you know, and maybe he was calling the defense at Tennessee, which I don't think he was at Penn State. It was Brent Pry. And so it was a promotion for Banks and it was more money. But keep this in mind, Banks had done a really nice job recently with recruiting in the state of Michigan. You know, that's where he has his ties. So that's kind of a double whammy for Penn State, is you lose a coach and you lose that recruiter as well.
Speaking of recruiting, and I asked this question to Bob and Andy last week before the job was filled, and I said, when filling that position, do you want a recruiter who coaches or a coach who recruits? Me personally, I think the bigger effect a coach can have is in recruiting, even more so than his coaching. Perhaps you disagree with that. But with Poindexter, is it significant his background in Virginia, a more traditional recruiting grounds for Penn State versus Michigan?
Yeah. Well, the only thing I would say, yes, but I feel like Penn State already does pretty well in Virginia. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Whereas I would imagine, and nobody knows, right? And a lot of times Penn State's had Allen Robinson from Michigan, KJ Hamler from Michigan. So Penn State's had a lot of success with kids from Michigan. And so I think that helps as much as anything. Guys see that and they want to be a part of that. So I do think that's a factor. But I don't know, man. I feel like they already do pretty well in Virginia. Now, if they can do even better in Virginia because of Poindexter, I think that'd be great. But you would think that they would probably drop off some now in Michigan.
I would think that, too. What you're talking about is the difference in shoring up your traditional recruiting grounds versus opening up new ground like Juwan Sider did in Florida for Penn State. Before I get to the guys who have 1 year in the system, let's talk about Ty Howe, Anthony Poindexter, Mike Yurcich. What's your overall – I know we don't know how well Ty Howe can coach. He's coming from another position. But how would you grade James Franklin on these hires this year?
Very hard to do until you actually see him in practice. I will say Yurcich – it was sort of a hot commodity. So I think you got to give him a good grade there, but I don't know, Jim. I mean, I'm the same guy that gave him a really high grade for Shiraka last year. And obviously Franklin didn't think that went all that well because he moved on from him after 1 year. So I think it's very difficult to know. All you can do is talk about what you know about the guy and their track record. And Yurcich's track record is really good. You know, what he did with Justin Fields at Ohio State, what he did at Oklahoma State, he did a very good track record. Even you go back to Shippensburg, you know, where he had the Division II Player of the Year. So I think Yurcich is a really good hire. As for Ty Howe, no idea, man. I mean, there's no track record there. There's no way to know that he would get an incomplete. And it's funny, Jim, as much as I remember Poindexter as a player, and I know Poindexter, you know, has been a guy that's, you know, gotten a lot of kudos for what he's done as a coach so far, I don't know enough about him to say whether or not it's a great hire or not. I think it's really hard. Like I'd be lying if I said to you I knew a ton about how the Purdue safeties have played the last few years.
Gotcha. Well, I like that there's a bit of a different style. And Ty Howe, you got the guy you're hiring from within. You're hiring a Penn Stater. I think that's good. When you combine it with Poindexter with the years of experience, it's not all one type of coach. Let's move on to the guys who were hired last year, Ross, and do have a bit of a track record. That's Troutwine, Stubblefield, and John Scott Jr. With the couple minutes we have left, how would you grade them out?
Well, I think Stubblefield has to get a really good grade, right? I mean, he comes in, Jahan Dotson took another step, a huge step this past year. You know, to get Parker Washington to play that well as early as he did, you know, I think that certainly is a credit to Stubblefield. So I think Stubblefield deserves a lot of credit. I think it's really impressive what he was able to get done in a short amount of time. So Stubblefield, I give a really good grade to. As for Troutwine and Scott, I don't know that I feel like the D-line really improved this year. So I don't know that I would give Scott, I mean, maybe I give him a B. I don't know. I felt like, I guess, they got better as the year went, but I felt like they could have been more competitive than they were, or they could have been more dominant than they were. So I guess I'll give Stubblefield an A. I'll give Scott a B. And, you know, the offensive line, I feel like the offensive line, defensive line are somewhat similar in that they both got better as the year went. And so that does speak well of John Scott and Phil Troutwine. But they certainly, neither one of them played as well as they needed to earlier in the year, which I guess was to somewhat be expected, right, Jim? When you've got a new coach coming in at the position, new techniques, limited practice time. So I'll probably give Troutwine a B, B minus as well. He and Scott, I would say the O-line and D-line play pretty similar.
And you add in, it was such a bizarre year in 2020. They didn't have the benefit of spring practice. So much going on. We'll get a better feel for them after another season. That is it for Tucker's Tape. You want to stick around in our next segment? We're going to take your questions and we're going to ask Ross. Stay tuned.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.